This episode is sponsored by Celestron, manufacturer of high-quality telescopes and an industry leader in developing exciting optical products with revolutionary technologies.
I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during October. In the next 11 minutes, we'll ponder this month's two full moons, then give Mars a really close look, learn what Andromeda and Pegasus have in common, circle around the pole star Polaris, and watch for meteors shed by Halley's Comet. So grab your curiosity and come along on this month's Sky Tour. The past few months have featured a full moon early on, and in October it comes right away, on the 1st. Since the moon completes its cycle of phases in 29 and a half days, this month there'll be a second full moon on the evening of October 31st, which of course is Halloween. Pretty spooky, right? Now, in recent years, it's been popular to call this second full moon in a single month a blue moon. So why is that? After all, the lunar landscape doesn't really turn blue. This usage, it seems, came from a 1946 article in none other than Sky and Telescope. But if you dig really deep, the term blue moon was first used before then. The Maine Farmer's Almanac used it to describe a fourth full moon at the tail end of any given three-month celestial season, between a solstice and an equinox, for example. Yep, it seems that Sky and Telescope got it wrong, and everyone followed our lead. For the details of this celestial whodunit, go to skyandtelescope.org and type blue moon in the search box. Let's round out the moon's phases for this month. Look for last quarter after midnight on October 10th. New moon follows on the 16th and first quarter on the 23rd. Before twilight fades, I want you to note where the sun has set. That's west, more or less. Above that spot on the horizon, by about twice the width of your clenched fist held at arm's length, is the unmistakably bright star Arcturus. Now you might detect a slightly ruddy tinge to Arcturus, and that's because it's a red giant star, 25 times the sun's diameter and emitting 170 times more energy. Oh, and it's relatively close by, just 37 light years away. So the bright gleam you see comes from light that left Arcturus back in 1983. Back then, Ronald Reagan was president, and U.S. military forces invaded the tiny Caribbean island of Grenada. Wait, what? Strange but true. Now make a left turn away from the sunset point, and you'll have an easy time spotting Jupiter, perched above the southern horizon, about a third of the way to overhead. Jupiter is pretty bright, considering that it's nearly half a billion miles away. But when you're the biggest planet in the solar system, more than 11 times the diameter of Earth, you're going to be obvious, even from that far away. Not far to Jupiter's left is a dimmer but still obvious star. That's actually Saturn. This beautiful ringed planet is a little smaller than Jupiter and almost exactly twice as far away. The first quarterish moon passes near Jupiter and Saturn on the 22nd, and they'll make an attractive trio that night. Just to the lower right of Jupiter, look for a grouping of medium-bright stars about as big as your clenched fist. That pattern might remind you of a teapot, with the handle on the left and the spout tipped down to the right. This celestial teapot is part of the constellation Sagittarius, the Archer, and after October, it will sink from view into the southwestern horizon. Now make another left turn, so that you're facing directly opposite the sunset point. As the last bit of twilight fades, watch for a dazzling beacon rising up from the eastern horizon. That's Mars, the red planet, and it's a capital B big deal this month. Mars will be well up in the east by about 9 p.m., and it'll look almost alarmingly bright. That's because on October 6th, it'll be just 38.6 million miles from Earth. Yeah, I know, that still seems pretty far away. But actually, the red planet won't be this close to Earth again until 2035. 1 week later, on October 13th, Mars will be at what astronomers call opposition, directly opposite the sun in the sky, rising at sunset and setting at sunrise. The big bright moon will be very close to Mars on the nights of October 2nd and again on the 29th. If you've got a pair of binoculars, brace them against a wall or tree and point them at Mars. No, you won't see any Martians heading our way, but you will notice that the planet appears as a tiny disk with a pale peachy color. Mars looks red because the rocks on its surface are rusty. And if you've got a telescope, set it up on Halloween if the sky's clear. Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, and that blue moon will all make great targets to entertain the trick-or-treaters invading your neighborhood and their parents. Better than fuzzy fake spiders for sure. Aside from Arcturus, are any bright stars in view? I'm glad you asked. Look for the great square of Pegasus rearing up in the east as it gets dark. It's two fists higher up than Mars. The square, which looks tipped up on one corner, represents the body of the mythical horse, Pegasus, which right now is on its back in the sky. Seems the gods never got around to finishing Pegasus. It's got a neck and head extending off to the right, and its legs are sticking up toward overhead. But this horse has no behind. It ends at the square's left corner, a star called Alpheirats, or Alpheirats, depending on who's saying it. The gods got a little crossed up here. Alpheirats is actually the anchor star for the constellation Andromeda, which extends off to the left from that point. Now, make a generous quarter turn to your left so that you're facing northwest. See anything familiar over the horizon? It's our old friend, the Big Dipper. We're used to seeing it higher in the sky, but here it's not far above the horizon. Actually, in this pose, it's easy to see how the Dipper is just part of a larger star pattern tracing out the Great Bear, Ursa Major. The bear's pointy nose, marked by the star Musida, is about two fists to the right of the Dipper's bowl. The bear's legs dangle underneath, and the farther north you are, the more of them you'll see. Its tail is marked by the arc of three stars in the Big Dipper's handle. I've never understood why this celestial beast has a long tail, because real bears have stubby ones. And yet, many widely separated cultures have recognized this general pattern of stars as a bear. Some historians think its origin as such might date back more than 10,000 years. Here's something else to think about. As the starry sky wheels around through the changing seasons, old constellations sink into the sunset, like the teapot in Sagittarius, and new ones like Pegasus rise in the east. But for star patterns like the Big Dipper in the northern part of the sky, this seasonal shift becomes a slow counterclockwise rotation around Polaris, the North Star. Here's your word for the day, circumpolar, which is what astronomers use to describe constellations near Polaris that never rise or set. Now, Polaris isn't the brightest star in the sky, but it's easy to find. First, locate the two stars on the right side of the Big Dipper's bowl. Now, draw an imaginary line through them and follow that line upward and to the right until you spot a medium bright star pretty much all by itself. And what might that be? It's Polaris, the North Star. Now use that clenched hand to measure three fists to the upper right of Polaris. You'll see a group of five stars crudely shaped like a three, or maybe you see them as a broad W tipped up on its left corner. The whole pattern is a little bigger than your fist. This is the constellation Cassiopeia, who is a queen in Greek mythology. You'll see that Cassiopeia and the Big Dipper are situated on opposite sides of the North Star. So when one is high up, the other is low down. The Dipper dominates in spring and summer, while Cassiopeia rules in fall and winter. Now look to the upper left of Cassiopeia and above Polaris for a wide pattern of five stars looking a little like an upside-down house perched on the point of its roof. This is the constellation Cepheus, who is the husband of Cassiopeia and the mythical king of Ethiopia. About the same distance to the lower right of Cassiopeia are the stars of Andromeda, their daughter. One more thing to mention this month. A modest meteor shower called the Orionids peaks on the night of October 20th. Now, the constellation Orion rises about 11 p.m. these nights, so that's the earliest you could hope to see any of these shooting stars, which are actually bits of dust shed by Halley's Comet. There won't be any interference from moonlight this year, so you might glimpse a few extra meteors per hour from a dark site late at night and in the hours before dawn. Thanks for letting me expand your horizons for another month. If you want more tips on viewing the night sky, including a free interactive star chart for any time or date, check out our website, skyandtelescope.org. If you haven't already subscribed, you can find SkyTour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. And if you've enjoyed listening, please do leave a rating or review. It'll help spread the word about SkyTour, and I really welcome your feedback. And if you want to explore the solar system and universe more deeply, check out the full line of binoculars and telescopes available at Celestron.com. SkyTour is a production of Sky and Telescope, a division of the American Astronomical Society, and is produced by me, Kelly Beatty. Next month, I'll explain why Queen Cassiopeia is not a happy camper. Until then, I wish you clear skies.